Over the past 2 years, an innovative new system at the Justice Department has helped solve more than 100 missing and unidentified persons cases. The National Missing and Unidentified Persons System is the one place where information can be shared between law enforcement, medical examiners, victims' advocates, and families in an effort to solve such cases. Charles Hurick is the program manager of NAMUS. He and his team are finalists for a Service to America medal this year for their work on that system, and he joins us now to tell us all about it. Mr. Hurick, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about how this whole process works. Is it a social media site? Is it a regular database? What are we talking about?
It's a website that has two underlying databases, and one of them is for, as you said, missing persons cases, and that's accessible by law enforcement, medical examiners and coroners, and the general public to add cases into, and the other side is for unidentified persons or unidentified remains, and that is accessible only to law enforcement and or the medical examiners and coroners community. These two databases are able to communicate and assist these individuals in trying to find matches in cases of missing persons that may have deceased and become an unidentified person in the process.
Well, I'm surprised nothing like this has existed all these years before now.
There are some databases out there. One is the NCIC system that law enforcement uses for missing persons cases. But on any given day, there are over 100,000 missing persons reports in the United States. And as well, the adult population over 18 isn't given as much consideration when they go missing because they aren't children like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children handle.
And so you've been able to solve, or somebody's been able to solve, 100 cases. Tell us how it worked in a couple of them that you might know about.
Yes, there was one particular case of interest where a woman went missing in the 1980s from Missouri and was actually found the next day strangled in Ohio. But nobody from those law enforcement agencies back in the 80s had the ability to communicate between the two agencies to share this information. And the woman's sister actually was watching a television show, and we had a NAMUS public service announcement. And she went into the system and searched for some identifying characteristics that her sister had, specifically two tattoos that she knew she had. And she added those two tattoos in and did a search and came up with the unidentified remains in Ohio. The two law enforcement agencies were then able to communicate, and through forensic DNA and odontology, which is dental records, we were able to make a match in that case.
So this is something that spanned almost 30 years that the match was made.
Yes, almost 30 years, and she was actually murdered just hours after she was taken from Missouri.
Interesting. So the tattoos probably didn't play a big role in identifying what was left after all those years.
Well, the report that was made when she was found in Ohio 14 hours later was detailed enough to include that information.
Okay.
So she was essentially unidentified in Ohio, but the medical examiner in that state did make a detailed report. But the agencies, again, were unable to communicate back in the 80s. There was no system or mechanism for them to add cases anywhere where the whole country could search.
Yeah, it's probably not a great way to put it, but it's almost like you've got an online swap meet where people can mix and match information and bingo.
That's true. Based on the level or amount of personally identifying information you can put in on a person, everything from, like I said, tattoos to scars to medical procedures to dental records, the better likelihood you have of potentially making a match in the system.
Charles Hurick is the program manager of NAMUS, a database system at the Justice Department and a Service to America Medals finalist this year. What gave you the idea for this? How did this come about?
This actually evolved from a summit that the Department of Justice put together in 2005 directly to address the issue of missing and unidentified persons in this country, especially, again, adults, because the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children does such a great job with child cases. But they put together a task force to put recommendations forward to states and units of local government on how to handle adult missing persons cases and how to better keep records of those cases and unidentified persons and unidentified remains cases. And since everything's on computers now, the task force recommended that some sort of database be created.
So it sounds like your main task now is to make sure that every jurisdiction knows about this site so that if a person turns up missing there, they can be sure to put it in.
That's correct. Our biggest push now, since the system is essentially where we want it to be, other than some small upgrades that we're looking at towards the near future, we need to do a directed outreach to law enforcement, medical examiners and coroners, and the general public, not only to get the recognition that the site is out there, but also to add the number of cases. Because much like the FBI's CODIS DNA database, the success is going to be generated and only increase when we get more cases into it.
And roughly how many people are reported missing every year in the United States? Do we know?
Well, like I said earlier, it hovers on a daily basis from what I've gathered from the FBI's Criminal Justice Information System division out in Clarksburg, West Virginia. On any given day, it's right around 100,000 people that go missing. And also, from a census of medical examiners and coroners around the country, it's estimated that there could be as many as 40,000 sets of unidentified remains just sitting in coroners' offices or evidence lockers in police departments, and that's something else that we need to address.
So your long-term goal is to hopefully match those 40,000 with some of the reports, some of the 100,000 reports of people missing.
That's correct, and the missing persons cases that we generally take into the system are what we call long-term missing. So anybody that's missing more than 2 weeks or upwards of 30 days, if they're missing longer than that, those are generally the cases we want to get into NAMIS, because when a person goes missing and there is an active investigation, we allow the law enforcement agencies to take it as far as they can take it, and once all of their leads are exhausted, we're asking them to please put those cases into our system.
Charles Hurick is the program manager for the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System at the Justice Department. Thanks very much, and good luck on the SAMMYs Awards.
Thank you very much.
And you can find links to more information at federalnewsradio.com, where you can also hear this interview once again. Just hit federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.